Picture a young entrepreneur, eyes bright with possibility, explaining their revolutionary app idea to their mother over Sunday dinner. She beams with pride. "That's wonderful, honey. I definitely use that." 6 months and thousands of dollars later, the app launches to crickets. What happened? Mom lied. Not maliciously, but because that's what people do when you ask them to judge your idea. This scenario plays out thousands of times daily in coffee shops and conference rooms worldwide. The painful truth is that most entrepreneurs are having completely useless conversations with potential customers, collecting compliments instead of insights, and mistaking politeness for validation. The real challenge isn't getting people to talk to you. It's learning how to extract truth from conversations where everyone's natural instinct is to be encouraging rather than honest. Stop pitching. Get curious about how people actually live. The failed approach, "You like your iPad, right? Would you buy a recipe app?" yields meaningless politeness. "That sounds interesting. I could see using that." Better, "What's the last thing you actually did on your iPad?" This reveals reality. They use Google, not apps. They discover apps through newspapers. They receive cookbooks as gifts, but never open them. Each answer is concrete behavior, not hypothetical promises. This is the mom test. Talk about their life instead of your idea, ask about specifics in the past rather than opinions about the future, and listen far more than you talk. These three rules bypass polite encouragement and reveal genuine patterns. The best questions feel like genuine curiosity. You're gathering intelligence about how people actually behave when you're not watching. Even good questions can mislead through three forms of bad data. Compliments, "That's so cool," or "I love it," feel validating but carry zero useful information. People offer praise reflexively, especially sensing your emotional investment. Deflect back to facts. "Thanks, but how do you currently solve this problem?" Fluff takes three forms: generic claims, "I usually go to the gym," future promises, "I would definitely buy that," and hypothetical maybes, "I might use something like that." Combat fluff by demanding specifics. "How many times did you actually go last week? Walk me through what happened." Feature requests seem valuable but hide critical context. One team spent 3 months building an analytics dashboard for MTV based on their explicit request, only to discover they simply wanted branded reports to email clients weekly. When someone suggests a feature, dig into motivation. What would that let you do? What problem would that solve? Bad data usually stems from you. We inadvertently train people to lie by exposing our ego, seeking approval, or talking too much. A useful ratio: let customers talk 80% of the time while you guide with open-ended questions focused on past behavior. The most valuable questions threaten your entire direction. Before conversations, imagine your business failing spectacularly, then succeeding wildly. What determined each outcome? For a food delivery service, skip "Would you use this?" and ask "What would make you immediately abandon your current delivery apps?" Every conversation needs at least one assumption-demolishing question. Learning to love bad news becomes your competitive advantage. Spending $5,000 of your $50,000 budget to discover a dead end saves $45,000 and countless months. When customers show lukewarm interest, "Yeah, that could be useful," they're signaling they won't change behavior. Real enthusiasm looks different. "When can I get this?" or "I'll pay right now." A common trap: diving into details before confirming the problem matters. People happily discuss problems they'll never solve. Before exploring specifics, establish genuine importance. "Tell me about the last time you dealt with this," or "What solutions have you tried?" Always pre-plan the three most important things to learn from each customer type before meetings. Formal customer development wastes time. Each one-hour meeting costs 4 hours with scheduling, prep, travel, and follow-up. Early-stage founders often lack the credibility to land these meetings anyway. Instead, weave questions into natural encounters at conferences, coffee shops, or social events. Early conversations can be surprisingly brief. 5 minutes reveals whether a problem exists. 10-15 minutes uncovers workflows. Fitzpatrick shares a powerful example. Within 5 minutes of casual conversation, he disproved a product idea for investors' deal flow management before the investor realized they were discussing business. By asking how they managed hundreds of leads, he discovered they only tracked 10 serious contenders using sticky notes. No substantial problem existed. The key is revealing minimal information about your idea while guiding the conversation. Ask about workflows, pain points, or current solutions without mentioning your planned solution. Open-ended questions like, "How do you currently handle?" or "What's the most frustrating part about?" yield honest insights. By stripping away formality, you gather valuable intelligence while building genuine relationships far more valuable than forced interviews. After presenting your idea, don't accept compliments. Ask for commitments. Meetings succeed or fail based on concrete next steps. Leaving with vague promises like, "Let me know when it launches," is failure. Commitment doesn't require cash. It's what customers sacrifice for you. Compliments cost nothing and reveal nothing. Real commitment currencies include time, scheduled meetings, feedback on wireframes, trial usage, reputation risk, introductions to decision makers, testimonials, and financial stakes, letters of intent, pre-orders, deposits. The worst meetings end in limbo, neither rejection nor advancement. Push for commitment rather than accepting polite deflection. You're cutting through politeness to discover genuine interest. It's not a real lead until they've had a concrete chance to reject you. First customers are crazy in a good way. They desperately want your solution and will risk working with an unproven startup. Look for deep emotion about your solution, not mere problem acknowledgement. These early evangelists have the problem, know it, have budget, and have already cobbled together makeshift solutions. These rare fans become your champions, spreading word authentically because your solution transforms their lives. Startups don't starve. They drown in too many leads, ideas, and directions. Customer segmentation protects you from diluted marketing, feature creep, and directionless development. Successful companies eventually serve broad markets, but they begin with laser focus. Google started helping PhD students find code. eBay connected Pez collectors. Evernote helped moms share recipes. Without specific segmentation, you face overwhelming options that paralyze decisions and mixed feedback that prevents clear direction. A woman selling nutritional powder struggled because bodybuilders, restaurants, and mothers wanted different things. By focusing on health-conscious mothers at independent health food stores, she found clarity. She could test her product by placing it in these stores and measuring results. Customer slicing means drilling down until you know exactly who to talk to and where to find them. Instead of students for a public speaking app, target non-native speaking PhD students with upcoming conference talks, people you can actually locate. Your path to serving millions begins by serving dozens so well they can't imagine life without what you've built. That specificity isn't limiting, it's liberating. It's the difference between shouting into the void and having conversations that matter.